And when I finished asking them out, I asked him another question. You'd think I'd learn, but I'm a little bit slow. Finally, I got dried off a little bit, you know, and that's why I stand my shirts in a corner after a meeting sometimes. And I said, tell me, have you forgiven God for your dad dying? And it started all over again. He had me in a bear hug. This time he liked to kill me, this big old strong mountain man of a hunter type guy. But he was angry at God, and he remembered, even as he's wailing and crying, the pastor in that little country church saying, well, God needed him more in heaven than we needed down here. Now tell a five-year-old boy that. So Father took him home. And he'd had all this hidden rage and anger at God all these years. And that's why we prayed through that on Wednesday morning. Let's go on to authoritarian father. I know we're running the very slow here. We could almost do this in two sessions. This father type is a legalist. Very little love in law. He values obedience over relationship. He values truth, the letter of the law, but has very little ability to express compassion, mercy, grace, tenderness, patience, love. He's usually blended somewhere with some of the other father types. He may be tender and kind with those outside the house, and I often find this with authoritarian fathers. They can be gentle and kind with others that don't live with them, but they can't be with their own family, because their tenderness and kindness with others draws identity and acceptance to themselves, but they're not able to be that within their own family structure. He's usually not interested in the child's goals, dreams, desires. He's more comfortable trying to force the children into his own image of what they should become and what they should do. This was me. I was the authoritarian, performance-oriented father, born again, spirit-filled, successful in ministry, but the older brother. Therefore, the children didn't really know me, because I wanted the obedience. I wanted everybody to do everything that got me right, filled up, so I could go out to teach the next inner healing conference. Oh, wow. Very little emotional bonding, but it's not because the children aren't loved. I would have died for my children. It was because you can't be a father till you've been a son. And I had an authoritarian, performance-oriented father. And I had forgiven him, but my mental processes, the strongholds in my life, became that. So what are the pervading strongholds where there was authoritarian father? Your image of God is usually very similar. If your image of your earthly father is the authoritarian father, then you see God, the authoritarian God. If your father, earthly father, was harsh and impatient with you and judged every mistake you made, then you think God is the same way. And so you have an unhealthy, unholy fear of God that hinders you from intimacy. Therefore, you never have a safe place. So independence and self-reliance takes over in your life, and you become very strong and very good at what you do. That was all number one, if I hadn't said that yet. Number two, a stronghold. You may live with such a fear of failure that you end up in self-denial and self-deception. There is nothing easier than self-deception. When you grow up with an authoritarian father, you become a great liar and deceiver, because you've got to cover up deception and falsehood, and you don't even know it. It's just natural to you. So you blame everybody else for the things that go wrong. To admit fault yourself means that you're broken, or it means you're going to receive harsh treatment, or you deserve harsh treatment. So you have to always be right. Now, I know nobody has that problem here. In the relationship series, and there is a whole hour teaching for people you know that have a need to be right. It's called the grace of yielding. It's not for anybody here. Number three, you may build your relationship with God upon Christian discipline, law, and duty, but you lack the ability to flow in intimacy and loving relationships. So your whole walk with God is built upon faith, 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 but you can't touch them. Can't get close to them. No relationships. Number four, you may read the Bible, but again, You see all the scriptures that deal with holiness, righteousness, judgment, they stand out, but you breeze right past the one that are about intimacy and relationship and compassion, mercy, love, and forgiveness. Number five, you are usually intolerant of other people who do not think like you, act like you. You lack grace for other people's faults and weaknesses, and you see all the faults and weaknesses in others very clearly, but you don't see them in your own life. Number six, your witnessing, teaching, or preaching is usually based upon judgment more than love or grace. Looking down upon people more than lifting people up. And soon as I turn on the TV or radio, and there's the preacher, I know what his father was like. And I'm sorry, I have to change the channel, and I ask God to forgive me for being judgmental. But I need a father of love. I've been the other father. I've known the other father. I destroyed everything. And I need a new father, and I need those that are going to pour love and grace into me. And it's why this has become my second home. Because it's what this place represents. No perfect home, no perfect place, but one. But the value system of love, the way the prodigal father loved. And lastly, the abusive father. This father type inflicts deep emotional pain by means of one or more of the following. Physical abuse may come from harsh, unjust punishment, beatings, slaps in the face. May come from an abusive father that it's just emotional abuse occurs from harsh, fearful tones of voice continually, devaluing words, demeaning looks. And there just wasn't large amounts of affection to help make up for the times that they drifted away from representing the Father's love. I believe emotional abuse occurs when a father can't meet the basic emotional needs of a child for express love, security, praise, a sense of purpose and identity. Because again, a need unmet leaves the child sick. But of course, the deepest of all is when there's been some type of sexual abuse. And this can occur from any kind of wrong touching, any kind of defilement in the person's sexuality, or we can talk about there that I don't specialize in teaching. My father walked in when I was 12 years old and threw a Playboy magazine down on the bed and said, "There you go, son, I want you to be normal." Oh, it was wonderful. Great dad. All the kids want to hang out at my house because right by my bedside is all the Playboys my dad gave me for my induction into manhood. And he was such a good man in the community. And he loved me and had died for me. But that was just the only thing he knew growing up in the military and rejecting belief in God as a teenager because of all the Christians that rejected him when his father abandoned him when he was 7 years old. And he rejected Christianity because they rejected him because he didn't have a father in small town Georgia in the 1920s, near where Dan lives over there in the Hepzibah, Georgia area. Any kind of abuse from a father figure results in some of the deepest wounds that a child can receive, with, of course, sexual abuse being the most deepest. Because what it does is it totally destroys a sense of honor towards authority. And then it also leaves us with a unhealthy image towards the Heavenly Father. And it can result in tremendous repressed anger. It can leave a person feeling that they are inherently a bad person and they deserve to be punished. And so they feel like God wants to punish them all the time. So they battle frequently with guilt and unworthiness and shame and self-hatred, perhaps self-abuse, self-mutilation. They may have no motivation towards the joy of living whatsoever. And we found that counseling alone is not often enough to bring freedom. I personally feel there must be a merging or a blending for those with deep abuse problems of counseling, biblical counseling, but then a supernatural encounter with the love of the Father that comes and meets the deepest need for an expression of the Father's embrace to them. One young lady, Barbara, we ministered to, was the worship leader in a very large faith church. Someone sent her to our ministry, and she battled with tremendous fear of every man in authority. And her father had sexually abused her through 4 or 5 years of her childhood. She had been through every type of counseling over 15 years, had a master's degree in psychology, trying to find healing, went through the best psychological counseling, biblical psychology counseling, went through as much inner healing, everything she could get to find, finally to come in a place of rest and to be free from the trauma and the fear. And the specialist that helps out with Shiloh Place that specialized in the sexually abused that's on staff in another town, he had ministered to her and counseled with her and she'd gone through some of his seminars, and he says, I want you to go to a father conference and I want you to pray every prayer. Go to one of the Experiencing the Father's Embrace meetings where Jack Frost is at. And we happened to be about an hour of her away from her town, and she came. And she went through every session. And some of the team members or something prayed for her morning and afternoon, and she just couldn't break through. So much fear of anyone, male or in authority. But I remember the fourth day after 8 sessions, through 4 days, she comes the last night, and I don't know who prayed for her. I don't think it was me. I think it was other team members. But I remember seeing her over the floor, crawled up in a little ball, and I knew. She's in Dad's arms. Because all the other time it was pain coming out of her. This time there's a little girl with a little girl's childlike smile laying there. And it was 3 weeks later we get a 3-page type letter telling us that when she was prayed for, she just got on the floor by faith and just said, Daddy, I've heard what a loving father you are. And I know I never again have to go back to that house of fear I grew up in. And I choose to come home to your house. Now, Father, bring me in your arms and give me the love my daddy couldn't give. And then she said it was like he reached down from his throne and took her in his arms and set her upon her lap. She said, for 2 hours I laid there, was last to leave there in Father's arms. She said, I drove the hour home and I went in the house and I looked over in the living room corner where she lived. And she said, Dad was in the big overstuffed chair, Abba. I said, come on over. She went over and crawled up in Father's arms and lay there and just... Father loved on her, and she said, I went to the office the next day, and she's a psychologist, and walked in, and my secretary said, what has happened to you? Daddy's home. She said, I led 3 people to the Lord in my office that week. She said, I'm able to lead worship without fear. I'm not afraid of being in a man's presence anymore. I'm not afraid of my father. See, years of counseling were foundational, very foundational, needed. But also needed was a supernatural breaking forth of the Father's love into that little girl's heart. What are some of the possible strongholds that can result? You may feel that getting close to God is very difficult because you fear being punished again. You've tried praying enough, reading enough, doing all the right things, but you're still left feeling guilty because you just can't find Him the way others seem to find Him. Number 2, you may feel that God is always angry with you and looking for any reason He can to make life hard on you. Number 3, you may be angry with God, blaming Him for not protecting you from the abusive father, not realizing that Satan was the author of the destruction and the childhood pain, not God. God was looking to heal, to restore. Number 4, it's very difficult to you believe that God loves you. The ungodly belief that's often developed is if God loved me, He would have given me a different father, or He would have protected me from him. Number 5, you may struggle continually with self-condemnation and a sense of shame, feeling too unclean to approach God. Number six, you may find it very difficult to relate in healthy ways to spiritual authority in the church, rejecting fathering relationships, mentoring relationships. Therefore, spiritual growth comes very slowly for you. Now, as we've gone over these father types, what's required of us for healing? And you already know the answer. It's forgiveness. We must be willing to forgive our earthly fathers for each area in their life where they failed to represent the Father's love. And if you do not forgive, you end up carrying all the baggage from your earthly father's house into your home and into your relationship with God. And we've got to stop seeking to put blame on them. You can hear some of what I teach, and if you only hear a portion of it and not all of it, you can hear me and you can come and, well, I'm just a victim. You're saying all this is someone else's fault. No, I teach this so you can see the strongholds that are built in your mind. And now you may have been innocent of the wounding that took place in your father's house, but you're accountable for the strongholds that have built. You're accountable for the reaction to the wounding. And see, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, we've got to honor our father and mother even if they're honorable. That means that we're to still have a sense of honor towards them, respect towards them, even if they were unhonorable. If we don't, things don't go well with us in life. And healing begins when we take personal responsibility for the strongholds that's been developed in our thought life, our reaction, and how we have misrepresented the Father's love to others. We give our Father the gift of forgiveness. We give Him a gift they may not deserve. And then we begin to cry out for Father to come and meet that deepest love need of our life. For some of us, yes, it's like that. For others, it's a journey. And for most of us, in fact, for all of us, Ed Piorek taught me the journey, that you'll have some big moments in the journey. For some of you, there's just big moments. And then you'll have some little moments. And then you'll just kind of go out on a level playing field for a while, and then you may have a little moment. And the little moments and the big moments are cultivated by perhaps receiving new teaching, new revelation, soaking time as we're about to have, where God's going to come and it's going to touch some people. For some, it's going to be a little moments. For others, it's going to be big moments. For others, seed is being planted. For others, this week is no more than just going to be the warmth of the ice being melted off of the popsicle, so that in coming days and weeks, His love will push in and His pain will go forth. Sometimes the little moments are cultivated by the tapes you're listening to, the books you're reading as you're beginning to renew your mind. But it's a process that takes you deeper and deeper and deeper into the revelation of His love. And Father wants to touch you here right now. And I'm going to ask us, just like we've done this week, find a safe place right now, because we're going to pray through many of these Father issues. Find a place to where you can soak, or you feel secure and safe, to where you're not threatened, to where you can lower the walls a little easier. If you're comfortable right at your seat, that's a safe place for you. That's okay. We don't want to bring you into an uncomfortable place. If you like to spread out on the floor, if you need somebody to hold you because you think you're going to cry, get a close friend, not an unknown person. Get a close friend with you to be near you. A pastor that may be with you, or a mother or father may be with you, or a spouse that may be with you. Because as we pray through this, some people are going to get in touch with their emotions. Others are not. It's going to be a seed planting, but everyone who asks receives. Luke 11:10, everyone who asks receives. If you have to go, certainly feel free to do that. If we know people are on time schedules, feel free to do that. But this is the time the teaching was just meant to help you to discover the areas where the enemy's been stealing your ability to receive the Father's embrace. That's it. Find that safe place, and you can go ahead and put in just one of the instrumentals. Now, as I was teaching, where did you come into a point of identification? There may have been many memories. Of course, the ministry team take liberty as we've done all week. There may have been many memories that came to mind, but right now just ask the Holy Spirit what memory. We don't want the 49-year-old here to pray this. You've probably forgiven your earthly father. Now, for some of you, that's going to be stepfathers. For some of you, it's the grandfather. For some of you, maybe you weren't here for the mother heart and you need to pray through mother issues. You put in there whatever the Holy Spirit is showing you right now. And let's take a moment and listen. Holy Spirit, bring to our memory any specific area of disappointment, wounding, or grief in our Father's house. Well, 50% of us are having a memory. The others just pray by faith. Now, what was that little child feeling that day? You put that emotions in your pain tank. Get in touch with the emotions, the pain of that day, of that memory. What's the little boy feeling? What was the little girl feeling? Holy Spirit, help them. None of us can get there on our own. Come, Holy Spirit, and reveal all truth. What is the father issue that you want to bathe in the Heavenly Father's love right now in each person? Reveal all truth to them right now. That's it. Get in touch with the emotions of that moment. Get in touch with the hidden core pain. What were you feeling in that moment of trauma? Now tell me, where was Father God in that moment? Where was Jesus, the counselor, in that moment? Look around the room. What's he doing? Maybe you can't see him, but what's the Father saying to you? Abba, Heavenly Father, saying to that little child. Holy Spirit, pour the love of God abroad in that little child's heart. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. I will make my home in you. There's never been a moment I haven't been drawing you in my love. And even though the Father, the Mother, wasn't able to convince you of their love, I will not reject you, but I will receive you. For I am a father to the fatherless. So let his love come. Experience how great a love that I have for you. For I have called you my own child. The child in whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And I'm not ashamed to be called your father. I'm not ashamed of you. For I do not judge you. For I came to save you. My son, I loved you so much that my son was sent to die for you, that you may come before me with confidence, receiving my grace and mercy in every moment when you felt your need wasn't being met. I was coming to you. As I'm coming to you now, stand in as a father. There's no way I can pray over every person in this room. But I'm probably a pretty good candidate for the pain that many of your fathers may have imparted to you. I've been the passive, I've been the performance-oriented. I've been the authoritarian. I've been the abusive. And I was the pastor. And your father may be too wounded to ever say these words, but to you personally, as if no one else is here. As Jesus stood in for the cross, for us, I stand in for your father. Now, what memory of your father is coming to mind right now? I want that little child to receive this. As a dad, I committed the greatest sin a father could commit against his little child. I misrepresented Father's love to you. And I'm asking, though I do not deserve it, I'm asking you to forgive me for my inability to provide a special place in your heart. When God gave me your life, He gave me a gift and a treasure. He gave me a gift of love and a pearl of great price. And I was not faithful to nurture the gift of God within you. And I ask you to forgive me. You were not the problem. There was not something wrong with you that made you unlovable. It was me and the hidden core pain in my life. I couldn't have been a father because I was never a son in my own father's house. And I felt more like a slave as a child, and I became a master over you. Forgive me for the injustice against you. Forgive me because I knew not what I was doing. I was doing the deeds of my father. Forgive me for never taking you into my arms in a healthy way. For not being safe enough for you to risk crawling into my arms. Please forgive me. Forgive me for not being able to say the words, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're the child in whom I love and in whom I am well pleased. Forgive me for not being able to make you believe those words. You weren't broken. You were created for love. Created by God's love. Created to be nurtured by my love. It was I who left you hurt and wounded. It was I who misrepresented God to you and His love. Forgive me for building a false image of God in you. Forgive me for misrepresenting a father's love to you. Forgive me for never being able to look in your eyes and say, I've fallen short. I disciplined you out of anger. I disciplined you unjustly and harshly. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for never being able to say the words of what a blessing and a treasure you are. That your life is a gift of love to the world. That you're a pearl of great price. Forgive me for all the times I devalued and demeaned you with the look. And even now you can remember all the times you looked in my eyes and you saw devalue, and it left something in you of feeling like I don't have value, I don't have worth. I pour in the oil and the wine to wash and cleanse that wound. Forgive me for speaking more words of criticism than words of affirmation and honor. And Jesus, pour the oil in the wine. Into each area those arrows pierced their heart of words that devalued, that demeaned, that spoke down to them. Pour in your love. Forgive me for not playing with you. for not laughing with you. For I knew not what I was doing. I never learned how to play as a child. Forgive me for being so busy that I didn't take time for you. Forgive me for not being there when other fathers were there, but not being there for you in special times, sporting events and school events. Forgive me for not supporting and protecting you. It's been my pain that's left your heart empty. But Father God's love is more powerful than all that pain. And I bring you to Father's house. And I've got to let go of you. You need to let go of me. Because he's going to draw you out of the house of fear. And he's going to bring you into his house of peace and rest. Father, come to the orphans right now. You said you'd not leave them or forsake them. As I see the Father reaching out, Abba reaching out, and though the father and mother forsake thee, he will receive thee. See him taking you out of his earthly father's house. And we place the cross between you and the disappointment and fear of your earthly father's house. And say with me, I forgive you, Dad. You couldn't be a father because you'd never been a son. I've been angry with you. But I forgive you, for you knew not what you were doing. And now, Father God, I have nowhere to go for a father's love. I've never had a safe place. Run to me, Abba. I'm willing now. I know you're nothing like my earthly father. I've tried coming to your house. I've tried crawling. I've tried begging. I've tried pleading. And I'm too tired to get home. Father, come and carry me home. And oh, the father left the house to bring the prodigal home. He left the house to bring the older brother home. He's coming for you. Invite him to come. My affectionate child, I have always been with you, and all that I have is yours. Welcome home. Welcome home. experience him now, taking the robe of heaviness off your shoulders. The rags of the orphan, the slave. And I'll see the robe of righteousness he's clothing you with. But let the robe of righteousness settle upon them, Lord Jesus, covering their sin, washing them from all sense of failure, putting on them a robe of many colors, Father's presence is so powerful in the house right now. He's here for you. And we renounce the ungodly belief that those are thinking right now that he'll do it for others, not me. We renounce that lie right now. He comes to the most destitute and the wounded, the most fatherless. The river, the water flies to the lowest place. And when you're at your lowest, that's the place the river flows first. A robe of righteousness settling upon you. Clothing you in his garments of sonship. Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Placing you in the Father's presence, adoption. Where bondage and fear must flee. Fear of authority, you have no right in Father's house. I'll see him slipping the ring upon your finger. I do not call you my slaves or my servants. My ring establishes you as my sons and daughters. Welcome home. Restoring you to full inheritance, my child. Even in a distant land, I was with you. I said I would never forsake nor leave you. Receive your inheritance. Sonship. Being a daughter of the Father of creation. And now see the Father, as we shared Wednesday morning, the greatest in heaven, servant of all, expressing the fullness of his love as Jesus humbled himself and knelt and washed the dung and the dust of the world off of your feet. Only doing what he'd seen the Father do. See the Father welcoming the prodigal home, feeling so ashamed. Oh, Father washing your feet, wiping the tears of your eye, and putting the sandals on your feet. You'll not be a slave in his house. They don't have sandals. Sons and daughters do. New robes. Gold upon the finger. sandals on upon the feet.
If you would like this tape or any other material produced for Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at 843-365-8990, or you may write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For those comfortable with a computer, check out our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org, or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.